Welcome to the Weekly Insight Podcast, where we break down the noise of the week and help you understand the psychology of the markets with your host, Andrew Doerr at Insight Wealth Group.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the first episode of the Weekly Insight Podcast in 2024. It's a new year. Happy New Year's. I want to thank you, as usual, for joining us. And I do want to start with what I must start with every week, which is just to remind you that what you're about to hear today should not be considered individual investment advice, but instead just my thoughts and our firm's thoughts on what's going on in the market and the economy. If you'd like to discuss how this may relate to your personal portfolio, I'd encourage you to give us a call. Let's dive in. You know, I'm not a big one for New Year's resolutions. In my business, if there's something you need to change, you're going to regret if you don't just get on changing it instead of waiting until the calendar turns. Better jump on it now. But the new year is an excellent time to take stock of things. How did last year go? What opportunities or problems await us in the future? What should we be doing right now to prepare? And so, as I've done the last couple of years, this first podcast of 2024 is going to be focused on looking at the big trends that we saw in 2023 and what we expect to see in 2024. As you're going to see when we talk about this, I didn't always get everything right. We didn't always get everything right as a firm last year or, frankly, any year. But overall, it's been a pretty good run. Now, the biggest trend of 2024, you all know it. If you listen to this podcast, it was the Fed. Goes without saying, we talked about it a lot. Their battle against inflation was the biggest storyline in the markets for the second year running. And in our first podcast of last year, which we called Big Trends, we asked at the time if the end of rate hikes was near. Now, I was pretty reserved about predicting the future of Fed policy because, as you know, listening to me over the years, the Fed can't even predict the Fed's policy clearly. But I did note that it was clear at the time when the federal funds rate sat at 4 3/8 that rates weren't going up forever. The debate wasn't about were rates in 2023 going to hit 6.5% or 7.5%. Instead, it was about, you know, when are we going to get to that peak? Is it going to happen quickly? Or is it going to take some time as we go throughout the year? The big miss on my part was on timing. I noted at the time that market consensus was that rates would peak at 5% to 5.5% sometime in May or June, and that rates would then retreat to closer to 4.5% by the end of the year. The total rate increase was nailed. We ended the year at 5.25%, but it was the Fed's reluctance to retreat in the second half of this year that led to so much market volatility. The timing of that process, we certainly did not have correct, but it looks like 2024 is going to be a very good year for that. The other big thing was the recession that never was. The common criticism levied against this podcast over the years has been that we are just too darn optimistic. Maybe. But maybe that's the point. The truth is that historically, the most catastrophic events for the market are the so-called black swans, the things that I don't see coming, you don't see coming, and they're nearly impossible to avoid. That's why I've been so down on this recession idea for the last several years. We spent a lot more time on this topic in 2022, frankly, than we did last year, but the point was still the same. There is an industry of economic gurus out there that is telling you the world is ending. Constantly. It's easy to be those guys because one day you'll be right. And in the meantime, scaring people works. But the data continues to say the exact opposite. I remember well in early January 2022, there was the famed market analyst and permabear, Jeremy Grantham. He came out and he said that he was predicting a 50% correction in the stock market in 2022. At the time, we told you on this podcast that it would take an economic collapse for that to happen. We saw no economic collapse coming, and thus we saw no 50% correction in the stock market. We were right. But we also know that 2022 was a rough year in the markets. 2023 was a great year. But when you put the two together, what do you get? Nothing. You get nothing. The S&P 500 from December 31st of 2021 until December 31st of 2023 was up 0.08%. So we shouldn't get too wrapped up in how awesome last year was because really last year got us back to where we started. While we never did get the recession, which will eventually come, recessions are always coming, we did get a recession in the stock market back in 2022. And so the lesson from this, always remains the same. Avoiding the collapse in 2022 meant much better returns than the market over that two-year period. So the irony here is that while we are always supposedly so optimistic, we were actually much more conservative in the market in 2022 than the broader market. And frankly, we were in 2023, but the result has been, by losing less in 2022, a much stronger result than the overall market in the long term. And that's an important thing to understand. So what are our concerns for 2024? And frankly, what are the opportunities? Because oftentimes those two things are inextricably linked. I'll start with Washington. Washington is always a concern for us. We probably spend more time as a firm talking about politics and policy than pretty much any other financial advisors you most likely talk to. We know that there is an outsized impact that politics plays in the broader market and the economy. But 2024 is primed to be a year in which politics plays a huge role in your portfolio. It starts later this month. We're facing yet another government shutdown debate. The good news, as you will recall from our previous commentary, is that we are not having a debt ceiling debate. Congress suspended the debt ceiling until the end of 2024, so we don't have to worry about that in an election year. Probably one of the more mature things they've done in a while. But on January 19th, just 2.5 weeks away, the government will shut down without a budgetary agreement between House Republicans and the White House. This is happening in the charged atmosphere of a presidential election year, so all bets are off on what these parties are going to do. An extended shutdown will undoubtedly impact the market and your portfolio. A short-term shutdown? Much less so. We're going to watch it closely over the coming weeks. I don't have a great crystal ball on this, but it's something that as we get a little bit closer to it, we're going to spend a lot of time discussing. The other Washington-related thing, the presidential election. You're going to hear me talk about elections a lot more this year than we have in years past. Why? This one is going to be crazy. We all have our personal opinions on what the best outcome would be. That is not what I'm here to talk about. We are going to stay entirely agnostic about the pros and cons of each candidate. That's not our job. But the bigger concern for us is your portfolio. Historically, a presidential election year has been very good for portfolios. Going back to Herbert Hoover's election in 1928, the average stock market return in a presidential election year has been positive 11.28%, no matter which party won the election. I would take that in a heartbeat. If somebody said to me, Andrew, you want an 11.28% return this year? Heck yeah, sign us up. There have actually only been 4 election years during that time that have seen negative stock market returns. Twice during the Great Depression, shocker, once when the tech bubble burst in 2000, and once during the Great Financial Crisis in 2008. One could make a compelling argument that external events besides the election were moving market returns negatively in those years. But otherwise, every presidential election since 1928, other than those 4, we have seen a positive return in the stock market during the election year. Now, the timing of these returns is particularly important because they tend to come early in an election year or late. Volatility jumps dramatically in the 60 days before the election. Why? It makes a lot of sense. People are concerned. They don't know who's going to win. They don't know which policies are going to win out. They don't know where to place their bets, and so they retreat. And so we see a lot of negative market movement in the 60 days before the election. If the two candidates this year are Trump and Biden, as most would expect, I would believe that that trend as we get up to election day is going to continue. September and October, particularly a scary time, maybe even August. As such, you may see us talk about getting a little bit smaller in portfolios as the election nears, but then look to put our foot back on the gas in the closing months of the year. We'll see. A lot to be determined between now and then, but it's just something to keep in mind. And then outside of Washington, there's obviously international affairs. I'm kind of lumping it all together here, but the U.S. is important. But there is a lot that happens elsewhere in the world that can impact your retirement as well. Does China start to pull out of their economic malaise? What's going to happen in the Ukraine if U.S. politics allow Putin a window to advance? Does a broader conflict expand in the Middle East? All of these are things that are important and will be important to you. I don't have any great insight into these things, but I think we have to just very carefully monitor them. If they start to rear their head in a negative way, we may need to look at de-risking portfolios, especially the international holdings in portfolios. But that will be something we monitor really throughout the year. But in the end, the big picture today remains where it was 2 days ago when the calendar turned. The U.S. economy is strong and expanding. Inflation is falling. The Fed is looking to begin rate cuts, and a recession is still several months away, even in the worst-case scenario. While we will watch our concern list closely this year, I do think this is a year of opportunity in portfolios, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what the next 12 months bring. So we'll leave it there. Happy New Year. As always, if you have any questions about this or concerns, don't hesitate to give us a call here at the office at 515-273-1333, or you can always visit us on the web at www.insightwealthgroup.com. I hope you have a great week. I hope it is a great year, and we look forward to touching base with you throughout it. Take care.
Securities offered through Arete Wealth Management, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Arete Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment firm.